Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hey there. I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At one of the most famous restaurants in the world, there's a table in the corner where the most incredible conversations on the planet are happening every week with owner Ruthie Rogers and amazing guests like Martha Stewart.
But I did have an affair with one of his best friends.
Jimmy Fallon.
Do you want a zip line over your dad while he gets attacked by alligators?
And Paul McCartney.
John and I hitchhiked to Paris.
We've saved you a seat. Ruthie's Table 4. Listen to Ruthie's Table 4 on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parenting. I'm Peter McBurney.
I'm Beth Newell.
Ba-da-da-bo. Okay. We in a good mood tonight.
We're in a good mood tonight.
We're in a very good mood tonight.
You make it sound so strange.
I made it sound creepily sexy, and it's not.
Yeah, you make it sound like there's like a, you know. Anyway.
Yeah. We're just, we're just two cool cats. Life's a little less stressful than it was yesterday. And who wants stress?
Yeah. So we have some announcements.
Yeah. We're going to plug some things.
We're going to plug some things. So some of you, what's that?
A big one. Yours.
A big one. Those of you who follow me on social media might have already seen this, but I can finally talk about the fact that my pregnancy book is coming out February 4th.
You wrote a book about pregnancy?
I wrote a book for new moms about pregnancy, childbirth.
It sounded like you were going to say from memory.
And having a baby. Yeah. And I co-wrote it with my best friend, Jackie Ann Ruiz. And she did all the illustrations. And
Which
we tried to
incredible.
Make it. Can I talk?
I'm just chiming in to interrupt and say that
just mumble things under so that my words become unintelligible and no one knows.
It's incredible book. You should read it.
Okay. So I'm really excited to be finally promoting it. We've been working on it for a really long time, and we were just trying to make the sort of like a funny, encouraging, yet informative book about what is actually in store for you when you're having a baby. So I apologize to everyone listening to this. You already probably have children, most of you. But if you know anyone who is expecting in the next few months, the book comes out February 4th, available for pre-order.
Right now.
I really, like, this is one of the few things in my life I really feel good about the work I've put into it and the amount of research and energy and love. No, I mean, I feel this way about other things, but it's not all, like, often something comes along that you're just like, wow, that's really,
yeah,
I really put a lot into that. I think especially because Jackie and I started writing this book proposal when Maven was like a month old. So this is
the thick of it.
This has been a labor of love for 3 years now. And we've,
pun intended,
we've worked really hard to remember in graphic detail what it actually feels like to have a newborn. And if we felt like, when we got pregnant, the book's out there, we're kind of either fear-mongery and making you anxious, or they're kind of just like vaguely uplifting in sort of a cheesy mom way. It's just like there didn't feel like there was pregnancy books out there that really spoke to real women and our frustrations with pregnancy and childbirth and all of that stuff. But I think the reason why is because when you're postpartum, you're way too fucking tired to write about this stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm very proud that we wrote all of our sleepy notes down in our phones over the course of many years and finally made a book out of it.
And some of you, while your thyroid was not working
properly. Yeah, and some of it while I didn't have a functional thyroid. So I'm proud of it. And I hope it makes someone else's pregnancy journey a little bit easier.
Well, Beth, I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
From the snippets that I've read sneakily through the Dropbox that you use that is owned by me.
Wow, okay.
I haven't read the whole book, but I have
just
secretly.
Just lord it over me that you can afford a Dropbox membership that I'm forced to use.
You know
what?
Sell some books and afford your own Dropbox.
I will.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
My next book, you'll never know what it's about.
Damn.
You'll find out when the people find out.
I shouldn't have challenged you. How many times must I learn that lesson? Yeah.
And I spent the last 2 days recording the audiobook, or at least my half of the audiobook. And so I can't believe my voice is functioning right now.
You know, something I think you may not have thought about yourself being the sentence is off to a rocky start. but I'm going to power through. Is a voiceover artist.
Yeah.
Since doing this podcast, we've had many people talk about how soothing your voice is.
I don't know if people are kidding me or not, but I've really, in the recent months, overcome a lot of imposter syndrome I have about how annoying my voice is. Because I said I didn't want to listen to my voice on this podcast, and someone wrote in about it to make me feel better. But, like, doing the book, the audiobook, it felt like I was like, you know, I'm actually not anxious about this. I've done a lot of podcasts, yeah. And I feel like...
You've done 80 episodes of a parenting podcast.
Yeah.
You can do an audiobook that you've pre-written.
It's just nice to feel slightly secure in something in your life where you're like, you know what? I can talk for a very long time.
You know what? I know how to speak.
These words are my own.
I love you. I love you. I love you. That's fantastic. Bravo to you.
And
I look
you
forward
now
to
wanna...
reading it for real, which I haven't done yet.
I look forward to seeing it in its full colorful glory with all Jackie's illustrations printed. And there's some really funny illustrations and infographics.
There are.
And
that is the part of the Dropbox that I went all the way through with the graphics.
We make a little bit of fun of husbands and male partners.
I read that part. So if you like this podcast...
I didn't get to say the title because you kept interrupting me every single second
of
when I was trying to intro
this. My day was funny because I woke up and...
So the title of the book is There's No Manual, Honest and Gory Wisdom About Having a Baby by Beth Newell and Jackie Ann Ruiz. You can find it up on Amazon now and probably other places.
Find it.
But you had something you wanted to plug.
Well, it's not as good as that.
No, it's very exciting. If you ask my mom, your news is more exciting.
That is true.
So you are going to be on The Tonight Show.
It's true. Settle down. It's not a big deal. It's a small thing.
It's huge.
It's a small little thing.
You have a small appearance in a music video sketch, right?
Yes. Our dear friend Rachel Winitsky, if you're a Story Pirates podcast fan, you know Rachel. She's Rachel from the podcast.
Rachel Winitsky, also known as Rachel.
Also known as Rachel. She plays Rachel.
Also known as a writer on The Tonight Show. Yeah. And she is incredibly good at doing like musical parodies and funny music videos and funny songs. And she is in a musical duo called Friends Who Folk.
Really get that L in there. Friends Who Folk. Who Folk.
As an audiobook reader, I'm very familiar with enunciating.
Oh, you're a pro now.
Yes,
if you're a fan of the Story Pirates podcast and you love such hits as Cats Sit on You or Hamster's Workday or All Eight Unicorns, Rachel wrote all those. Anyway, you probably haven't heard her that much these days in the podcast because she works for The Tonight Show.
Which Peter will be on Thanksgiving night.
Unless they cut me, and then this will be regrettable that I said it.
Well... tune in.
It's a small little thing, but it was
definitely
fun.
Be a less than 3 second shot of Peter.
But I did just get a text saying they were giving me more money because my part now has a a line. So big time. But this is more to celebrate. Rachel wrote a really funny, awesome thing that you should listen to.
She's great.
But anyway, I debated whether I should tell you, because I knew you would tell your family. And on Thanksgiving, when we're all together, someone's going to insist
you
that we watch
it. You love it.
I love people telling me that they enjoyed something after the fact, but
my family needs something to latch on to every holiday. Otherwise, they're just going to be arguing about cooking or something. So if you give them an excuse to say, oh, Mr. Tonight Show, every time you walk in the room, that is a preferable distraction.
I was going to say the time at a family reunion where we were all, you know, 25, I don't know how many people. It seems like a million sometimes. All sitting around and someone's like, hey, Peter, You've got an acting reel, don't you?
Because we were watching like my cousin's like high school like video project on YouTube or something, and then we were like, "What else can we watch?"
Somebody hooked up the computer to the TV.
So we watched your reel, which is very embarrassing for you.
Oh my, that was.
If you guys want to look it up, just Google Peter McNerney reel.
Acting reel, fine. I don't care if you do it. Look it up.
Look it up.
It's pretty good.
But
PeterMcNerney.net.
You were so uncomfortable.
With your family, be like, hey, let's watch it and watch you watch it. Thankfully, it got a lot of laughs.
Yeah.
It did really help me in the end because I was like, oh, there's a clip in there that got no laughs.
Yeah, I got to recut this. And that's the biz, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's the biz.
Feedback, incorporating feedback.
I'll also plug Story Pirates right now. We just launched the Story Pirates Creator Club. If you're a Story Pirates fan and you want to get some special insider treats like a Story Pirates magazine, VIP tickets, t-shirt, all this stuff, go check it out. Story Pirates Creative Club. And also our third Story Pirates book, which is called The Crusade of the Crystal Crown.
This is what happens when you get plug happy, Peter. We don't have to plug every single thing.
I'm so embarrassed that I don't know the name of my own company's book.
Oh my God, you're going to get so much shit for this.
I'm going to have to edit this out.
Well, go to the Story Pirates. Go to storypirates.org and you can find out all sorts of information about Story Pirates, another podcast that is not this podcast.
The quest for the Crystal Crown.
Okay.
I knew that. I've known this for a year. That book comes out a week after your
book.
Okay.
Yes.
So buy Beth's book first.
Well, if we're going to keep doing plugs, I'll also say February is a great time to think about buying the Reductress card game.
Oh my
gosh. Which will be out.
Do you guys know that Beth is the co-founder and creator and CEO, president of Reductress?
Well, anyway, we made a card game called Play the Patriarchy, and it's not really, I don't think it's been announced yet, but it's coming out in mid to late February. And I, as someone who you know well does not enjoy games easily, I did my darndest to design gameplay that is not annoying to have to play when you're slightly drunk at a party.
Boy,
so
you've asked my input on some things before.
Are you mad that I didn't? Did you know that this game was even happening?
Yeah, but okay. This is the one where I'm surprised you asked my input on other things and not this. But
what, when have I ever asked for your input on anything?
You have me read scripts. Sometimes you don't like what I have to say.
I mean, maybe it means you ask to see things that I'm working on.
I'm very excited whenever you
anyway.
Share things with me.
Anyway, well, this is like the pluggiest episode.
Well, we never plug our stuff.
We don't. We don't do a lot of plugging on this podcast. So honestly, you guys asked for it, and
it's episode 80.
We've earned it.
Yeah. Check out our other stuff that doesn't, you know.
Okay. Should we talk about our kids?
Yes, I want to talk about Bryn.
Okay.
Uh-oh, sound insulation blanket is falling off the wall. Okay. In 80 episodes, this has never happened.
It used to happen every episode.
Should we pause and fix it, or are you good?
I'm good.
Okay, good. So, Bryn, we tried to go no more pull-ups at bedtime.
Yeah.
despite the fact that every morning he wakes up and the pull-up is full to the brim of the pee-pee. And, you know, I was like, let's go for it. Let's see what happens. Because I've heard some people, as soon as you take it off, you know, subconsciously, they can feel it's not on and they don't pee. So let's give it a whirl. So I bought a heavy-duty mattress wrap, plastic wrap, so that if he peed in the bed, it would be fine. And so he did, of course, the next morning. I go, okay, great. Well, we'll try again. And we did a whole week. and every morning there was an unimaginable amount of urine.
My favorite part is like 2 or 3 days in, he woke up and he goes, I didn't pee. And then he was covered in pee.
He was so excited. And I was like, oh, amazing. We all jump around. And then I touch him. I'm like, all of your jammies are wet. Like up to your neck, your pajamas are wet. He's like, oh, I guess I peed a little bit.
Just all over myself.
I mean, we kept it light. I'm very conscious of not making him feel ashamed of anything. So it's all very like, all right,
not,
cool.
If there's one thing I'm not worried about with him, it's his ego.
It's shame.
Yeah.
So we washed the sheets every morning for a whole week. And then he finally obviously said, I think I want to go back to my pull-ups. And I go, okay. That's fine. Yeah, we'll do that.
But then, of course, at this point, you didn't have any pull-ups because you dramatically wanted to run down to the very last pull-up and then say no more pull-ups.
Well, I got to say, he got on board with the plan. So when we did no pull-up, he was positive about it. He goes, let's go for it.
Yeah.
And he never freaked out. And we got him more, and he was happy to put it back on. And then he pees to the brim and overflows the pull-ups.
Yeah.
So we got him a bigger size. We got him some good nights.
We got him some good nights. Although, I did hear a rumor that the good nights are not very absorbent. So then I got these, what are they called?
They're pads.
Yeah, but they have a name like Dosey or something weird.
Booster pads.
Booster pads. They have a different name than that.
That's not the brand, but that's
So they're these pads that go in the pull-up or the good nights to give it more,
a little more oomph,
little more soaking power, which is what our son is definitely in need of. Because the second we went back to the pull-ups, he was just soaking through the pull-ups all over the bed anyway.
So weirdly, tonight we finally get the bigger size. And I'm like, all right, Bryn, so we're putting on one of these. And then he got real anxious. He goes, no, I want my old one. And I'm like, I'm not going to play this game. And so I put my foot down. And it escalates quickly. But I had already said, no books in bed until you put this on. And you came in like right after it escalated. And I'm like, I can't back down. And so there was a bit of time where he was crying and freaking out and screaming, and I had to like turn on the light and calm him down, and then we calmed down, and I put him in my lap and I held him, and I was like, how do you feel right now? He goes, I feel angry. You know how you ask your kids how they feel and they don't actually engage in that conversation? But he did in a way he never had. He goes, I'm feeling angry.
I think they've been talking about feelings a lot at school.
I loved it that he gave me a very honest answer.
One thing I appreciate in his classroom, which seems to be sort of a town-wide like effort, is that they're focused a lot on kids needing to move and fidget, and like, you know, there's like the fidget spinners that people talk about.
Yeah.
Like, so they like when I went, so I went in for his parent-teacher conference last week, which we haven't fully talked about. But the teacher was saying how, like, she can tell by the end of the day that he's, like, kind of needing to move because he'll be, like, crab walking along on the floor. Like, yeah. He's, like, on his hands and feet, which I was like, oh, yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
But she kept prefacing it by being like, I mean, it's a long day for all of us. And it makes sense that he's getting a little, like, but they have a corner in the classroom where kids can go to this basket for like sensory stuff and like play with a fidget spinner or do these things. And she said he actually doesn't go over there very much. Like, I don't think that's his thing. He wants to be like rolling on the floor.
Yeah, he wants to just rub his face in a pillow. I relate to that.
Yeah. But I really appreciate that they're like monitoring that in a way that feels very empathetic to the children and their needs and not like they're angry at them for getting fidgety.
Yeah, it's not a sit still. They have, you know, what's their mindfulness hour, or not hour, but mindfulness time.
Yeah.
Where it's not nap time, but you can meditate, it's just a quiet sort of roll.
They have a whole hour?
It's not an hour.
Okay.
It's mindful.
I was like, that sounds insane for a 5-year-old.
No, but mindful is in the name. He'll tell you all about it.
Okay. Well, I was asking her because she was like going through all the things, and I knew exactly what she was going to say because she was like, you know, here's his letters and he's doing pretty good, and that's like developmentally at the right spot, and he's very smart and social, and like he gets along well with everyone, and he like has a lot of friends. And she's like, but the thing is, he sometimes has trouble like focusing, like when we're all walking down the halls and he's kind of like
not safe.
Yeah. And she's like, my concern is it's not safe. And I was like, no, I get it. This is like everyone's complaint about him, because he gets so excited to be around kids and other people, and he's like so distractible and like happy to be with everyone, that he's not focusing on the stairs he's walking down or like.
Well, he told me that she told him that he's in charge of keeping everyone safe.
Oh, he said that?
He told me that she told him, he's like, hey, will you keep these kids safe? And it's exactly when I'm directing a show and I have an actor who's backseat directing and taking focus, I will pull them aside at some point and go, hey, can you help me with this younger actor? I could just use your help.
And you learned this because it was done to you when 100%. You were backseat directing.
Lee Overtree did this to me. And he'd give me a job. He goes, can you make sure everyone has different colored shirts on?
Yeah.
I'm like, aye, Captain.
It's perfect for him because Bryn is, like, when we saw him in his school performance last year, he's, like, the one who's, like, turning to everyone on stage and being like, hey, we're coming to, like, and he's, like, just giggling and wants to, like, direct all the fun.
Yeah. Just give him some responsibility.
Yeah.
Anyway, I need to finish my story of in the bedroom, what happened with the pull-up. So he said he was angry. And I didn't explain why. And then he didn't want to put on the good night. And then I had a stroke of genius. I have a full story parts model, which is just distract. Be more interesting than the problem. And I said, all right, here's the deal. And I got real serious. I go, Bryn, this is my final offer. Are you listening? He's like, and suddenly he's intrigued. I'm like, if you put on the good night, and only if you put on the good night, I will take another good night and I will put it on my head. And then he looked at me and he tried not to smile. I go, and I will go into mommy and daddy's room where Maven and mommy are. And I will dance in a circle while screaming, I am daddy diaper head. And I will make fart noises. And I said, you better not be laughing because this is what I'll do. And then he jumped out of bed and pulled off his jammies and his pull up and put on the good night. And that's why I entered the room and said I was daddy diaper head.
Masterful.
Did you piece that together when I was dancing?
Yes, I did.
Pretty good, right?
Pretty good.
Worked.
Yeah.
I am daddy diaper pants.
At one of the most famous restaurants in the world, there's a table in the corner where the most incredible conversations on the planet are happening every week with owner Ruthie Rogers and amazing guests like Martha Stewart.
But I did have an affair with one of his best friends.
Jimmy Fallon.
Do you want a zip line over your dad while he gets attacked by alligators?
And Paul McCartney.
John and I hitchhiked to Paris.
We've saved you a seat. Ruthie's Table 4. Listen to Ruthie's Table 4 on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This next segment is called We Don't Knows. It's where we share a perplexing parenting moment.
You know what? I don't knows. I don't knows what to do at a five-year-old birthday party where I don't know anybody and I am alone. So Bryn went to his good friend from school's birthday party. It was exciting to be invited by a friend of his that I'd never met.
A friend of his who, I have to say, I have to tell this story. Okay, so Bryn came home this week, and he keeps quoting this kid from school, imitating him, and he goes, I fall on my back and I hit my face. And he says it over and over again, because apparently...
And laughs hysterically.
And laughs hysterical, and that Maven started copying him and saying it. He's just copying his friend at school, so obviously he has no context for what this means, and we don't know what it's from.
We don't know what it means.
Please tell us if anyone knows. But this is his friend from school, and I was like, I was really worried because he was doing kind of like a black voice, and I was like, I'm like worried about what these kids are quoting and what's happening, and like... And we don't know who these kids are because we don't always pick them up from school or see them. And
you were worried that our son was doing a culturally insensitive imitation of a thing he didn't understand.
Right. I was. I was like, what is he doing? But then we found out that his friend is biracial and half black. And I was like, I feel a little bit better knowing that he's just hanging out with a kid who's black and not like... who knows what he's quoting? I don't know.
But Bryn doesn't know. I've asked him. I was like, is this from something? He's like, no, it's just what my friend says.
Yeah.
But it's like his friend's catchphrase.
Well, his friend is actually obviously very funny. Like, Bryn is very engaged by whatever is happening.
Well, he's a very nice kid, and he's got a very nice family. And we went, me and Bryn, went to this... pottery place. Same. I had one of these birthdays when I was probably 8 where you go and they've got ceramic things and you paint them and then they glaze and all that. Do you ever do that?
Me?
Yeah. For birthdays? Growing up?
No. This was after my time. Did you do this for birthdays?
After your time?
Where I grew up, this phenomenon is fairly recent. We didn't have this kind of thing.
We had one growing up, but it was one of those when you're little, you think it's the only one in the world.
When I was growing up, I think we had one when my sister was little. It was called Plaster Fun Time.
Plaster Fun Time.
But it was, it didn't.
A Plaster Fun Time right now.
But my little sister, 5 years younger than me, she would get invited there for birthday parties, but not me. I didn't.
Even though you would crush it.
No, it just didn't exist when I was of birthday party age.
I want to remember the one that I grew up near because I want to. Anyway, we went to Plaster Pottery Palace Fun Time. I don't remember what it's called. And I got there, and I knew not a soul. And this is, in many ways, my worst nightmare. Even worse than your family watching my character reel at a family reunion. And I did a lot of standing in the corner, a lot of hovering over Bryn, giving him far more advice than he wanted or needed. And I didn't know how to engage with people.
You were like, I gotta focus on this plaster.
I'm like, have you thought about this combination of colors? He picked a penguin bank, a plaster piggy bank that was a penguin, and he put every color there was in it.
I just want to say, I went to a kid's birthday party a week before this with both of our kids, and I think I did better than you.
Yes.
I wasn't the most social, but I did make an attempt to talk to people I don't know.
It got better over the night.
Some of them are more friendly than others.
It got better over the night, but the beginning section where they're painting, everyone seemed to know somebody except for me. At one point, birthday boy's dad came over to me and just goes like, hey, thanks so much for coming. And I was like, thanks for having me. And then I was like, you know, funny thing. And then he was off to the next person. I was like, well, I missed my one shot. So section one was painting a penguin. Section two, part two that I did
you're
not.
You're dividing the party into sections?
There were very clear. It was a module party.
Phase one.
Phase two. Session two. Dance party. We go into the second room, which is a big open room with like shelves up to the ceiling with, you know, unpainted ceramic figures, just asking for somebody to trip into the shelf and shatter all 900 of them. And they go, let's have a 5-year-old dance party in this room. And they turn out all the lights and there's a bubble machine and there's music and suddenly it is a dance party and the kids go crazy. You know who the one kid was who had no interest in dancing?
My son?
Bryn McNerney. So Bryn and I sat on the side like two losers at the dance. And I was like trying to get him to... I get up and like dance a little bit and he was embarrassed by me. And then the limbo stick came out and he was intrigued by that.
It's so weird to me that you can't talk to people but you're totally fine dancing in front of them. Like,
I was texting with Lee from Story Pirates. Early days of Story Pirates, 2000.
You've name dropped Lee like 5 times in this episode.
What can I say? He's my boss. it's shocking how little I have mentioned him on this podcast until this point. But from 2006 to 2009 at Story Pirates, before, you know, we did 9 trillion birthday parties before we were expanded into way more schools and bigger things. And boy, I know what it's like to be it's birthday party entertainment. They can be super fun. They can also be the worst experiences ever when no one's in charge. When there's no parents just telling their child to pay attention to somebody. But I've done so many of those that I was texting with Lee during it, and he jokingly said, you'd be more comfortable, you know, performing for these kids. I'm like, yes. If somebody told me, hey, will you entertain these kids right now? I'd be infinitely more comfortable just taking control of the room and going, let's make up a story together.
You want the teacher to make you the line leader.
Yes. Why wouldn't this 17-year-old ceramic pottery palace employee party leader just pass me the baton?
Yeah.
Because I will organize this limbo line because none of these kids are doing the limbo right. And no one seems to care. They're ducking forward to crawl under the bar, and everyone's acting like that's okay. And like they're not all instantly out.
But the thing is, if we were at a family party, and I was like, "Hey, Peter, can you just like get everyone going and like get do this thing, like run a quick thing, you'd be like, no, I don't want to do that.
Wait, what? What is the scenario?
If I asked you to like manage a party in this way and I was like, can you just like take the focus and tell everyone what to do and blah.
Are you
like,
kidding me?
You would.
I would do that in a second.
Really?
If you told me, hey, will you go take care of cousin Eddie? He's awkward and needs someone to talk to.
I was like, can you go lead the limbo?
Oh, hell yeah. I'd rather do that than do the limbo.
Okay, well, let's leave the limbo out of this.
Limbo. It was so disappointing. One kid knew how the rules of limbo worked. Didn't bother explaining it. These people they've done a million birthday parties. It was very efficient. It was very on time. They also knew that, like, it's a losing battle to try to teach 4- and 5-year-olds how to do the limbo properly. And so in my mind, I'm like, you know what? That's fine. The dance party ended after some limbo. There was a conga line. There was a freeze game that this one kid, Henry, would not follow the rules. He never froze. Crazy kid, light up shoes.
Wow. Crazy kid.
Light up shoes. And then we had pizza. Turned the lights back on, put the screen up, back in the other room, ate pizza, ate cake, got a goodie bag. His ceramic thing was done. We went home. 2 hours.
Perfect.
It was pretty good. I just literally didn't learn a single person's name.
Now that our kids are older and they're starting to catch on that other kids are getting birthday parties.
We're going to have to start trying.
Where would you host a birthday party for a child?
It's a good question. I don't know. I'd go find one of those like bouncy places.
Bouncy places. Okay. Yeah.
You know, one of those kid gyms. Discovery Zone-esque.
Yeah.
Just someplace with a part. Now that I've been to one and I remember what they're like, I would do this place too, honestly.
This place?
That I just went.
Oh, the plaster place.
2 hours. It's just like they do birthday parties, so they do it for you.
I like the 2-hour cutoff. Like, I guess that's how most kids' parties are. It's like in and out, but.
Yeah. What am I talking about? I would do a Story Pirates birthday party. I have something. I just realized.
The plug tally just hit like 20 for this episode. So many plugs.
I'd just pay a bunch.
Is there anything else we can plug while we're here?
Trike. Select Saturdays at the Magnet Theater. 9 o'clock. Okay. Reliably one of the best improv shows in the city, says the New York Times.
Wow.
Okay. We've literally plugged everything of value.
Well, I can't wait to see the revenue roll in.
Cha-ching!
At one of the most famous restaurants in the world, there's a table in the corner where the most incredible conversations on the planet are happening every week with owner Ruthie Rogers and amazing guests like Martha Stewart.
But I did have an affair with one of his best friends.
Jimmy Fallon.
Do you want a zip line over your dad while he gets attacked by alligators?
And Paul McCartney.
John and I hitchhiked to Paris.
We've saved you a seat. Ruthie's Table 4. Listen to Ruthie's Table 4 on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This next segment is called Listeners Want to Knows. It's where we share some questions and comments from you guys.
Okay, so just on the theme of this episode, which is shameless self-promotion, this is an email that references Reductress. I'm just going to read it. This is from Rebecca. Hi, Beth and Peter. This one is really for Beth. Love the podcast. Huge fan of Reductress. I have a 13-month-old, and I just found out I'm pregnant with a new nugget. 13 months. Wow.
I want to plug, if you're looking for holiday gifts, you can go to shop.reductress.com. We have a selection of sweatshirts, hats.
All very funny.
Crop tops. All very funny.
Literally, now I'm like, what is there we haven't plugged that we could plug?
Continue.
I'm pregnant with a new nugget. Just took out a positive pregnancy test a few days ago, so it's way too early to talk about this.
Whoa, congratulations.
But here I am, kind of freaking out about my life choices.
Just FYI. I just want to tell her quickly, she can pre-order There's No Manual Honest and Gory Wisdom About Having a Baby.
Yeah, you'll get the book before you get the baby. Your kids also will be about the same distance as Vernon and Maven, maybe 1 month sooner. They're 20 months apart. These will be, what am I talking about? I can't do math. They'll be 22 months apart.
Okay, go ahead and read the email.
Anyway, kind of freaking out, blah, blah. I read that. Great. Oh, yeah. Kind of freaking out about my life choices and how the fuck we're going to afford this. And OMG, it's going to be a million months before I can enjoy a glass of wine. But also, I'm excited for what this chaotic future holds. So, as happens, I have found myself launching up my Baby Center Pregnancy Tracker app. It can be comforting just to keep track of the weeks and be able to say baby is the size of a blah, blah, blah. Currently a sesame seed. However, there's a problem with these apps, which is that they're terrible and patronizing, especially the second time around. I have no patience for diet tips, quote, 10 foods to eat while pregnant, can go fuck itself, and heteronormative platitudes. So where am I going with this? I sorely think the pregnant people of the world deserve a pregnancy tracker app that is woke, funny, sarcastic, real, and inclusive. I am semi-seriously asking you, Beth, if you would like to start a project like this or know someone who might. The Reductress Pregnancy Tracker? I just got so excited about this idea, and I had to try reaching out. Alternately, maybe something in this realm already exists? If you think it does, please direct it to me. That would actually be much easier. I will try to write a more podcast-friendly question sometime. This was perfect. I realize it's a bit far-fetched and not what you're hoping to find in your inbox. You're wrong. We are hoping to find this. Anyway, you're doing a great job with parenting and generally kicking ass, Rebecca. So, Beth.
Wow.
It felt appropriate to read this, given that we're plugging our things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is, I just finished working on this book. And I'm still it feels like right now I'm sort of at the pushing stage of delivering this book into the world. So I still feel pretty in it in terms of like looking forward to next projects. I also feel like what's hard is, you know, I have this podcast obviously about parenting, and then I've been working on this pregnancy book for 3 years or whatever. I feel like I don't think I can take on another parenting related project.
Shouldn't you just say the tracker app is the book?
The tracker app is the book. Yeah, I mean, the book has some, you know, it talks about various stages of pregnancy and stuff like that.
Does it talk about the size of your baby in relation to food?
It doesn't talk about the size of your baby. There is a very old Reductress article, I feel like, that is sort of like, congratulations, your baby at 6 weeks is the size of a bed bug. And like, we might have done more than one of those where we just had like gross, like,
yeah,
things. But it wasn't... Just not, didn't feel sustainable at the time as a form of comedy to put out on the internet.
Well, so, you've got one customer.
Yeah.
If you do it.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's something out there similar to what she's looking for.
Not like as good as yours, though.
Not as good as mine would be, but yeah, I don't know.
All right. Here's another one that feels on theme for this episode, which I'm definitely going to call plugs.
Yeah.
So we continue to get a lot of book recommendation emails, and I think we're going to have to do another episode where we do a bunch in a row.
Well, that's something people probably want to know going into the holidays.
Oh, it's true. We'll do it. We'll do it next week.
I was talking to people because we've had a lot of birthday parties lately to go to, and I do really feel good about gifting a book.
Yeah. It makes you look cool and
well, I just feel like no. My friends were talking about this because they were arguing whether you could just show up to a party without a gift if you're like broke or you just are exhausted by consumerism. And I was saying like,
you're the first reason you can.
Well, I was like, that seems like a good idea. As a woman, I feel like I would be violently shamed for doing that, but I can understand the impulse. But what I feel good about books is that they're, you could just throw them in the recycling bin, and I haven't given them a huge piece of plastic that they have to like throw in the trash
or keep forever begrudgingly.
Yeah.
So this comes from Jen. Book Rex. Hi. I've been meaning to send you this email for 3 weeks now. My boys are currently listening to Frozen 2 and screaming at each other, so it seems like the perfect chance. Anyway, love the book, Rex, and had one thing to add. Whenever we read a children's book with princesses or really old-fashioned stereotypical gender roles, I just point it out. Why does that princess have to sit around waiting for someone to rescue her? Why can't she do it herself? It's so boring. My 7-year-old now points out to me parts in books he's reading himself when genders are being represented unfairly. Love you guys. Thanks for the great weekly podcast that always helps me get out for my run. I'm excited for Beth's book, and I just signed up for the Story Pirates Creator Club, so hopefully Peter will be sending us a message soon. 200 of those.
Right on time.
Awesome.
With the
good luck. Cheers, Jen. Oh, what a well-timed plug.
Wow. Thank you, Jen. That's great. That I have friends who talk about doing that, like just go reading, pointing things out when it bothers them in books and explaining to kids how they don't like that the female characters don't get to do anything.
Yes. I try to oscillate between, ideally I want Maven, I mean both my kids, but I think about Maven most when I see, you know, gender stereotypes in media.
I feel like with Maven, I think she's a little too young to understand it. And I don't want to like...
Well, we watched Snow White.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's 1939 or whatever. And Snow White finds the dwarves' house and no one's cleaned it, of course, because there's not a woman in the house. And she's like, well, I got to clean it up. And she's beloved, but of course they all see her as their mother, but they also like sort of lust for her. And so she's this woman that has to be
the Madonna whore complex is what you're referring to.
There you go. And, you know, her cleaning and this very clear, she says something that's like, don't they have a mother? Or I don't know what it was. And I saw Maven. I was like, I don't want Maven to hear that. Even, you know, even in the car, you know, so that's the 30s. When we were kids, you know, Beauty and the Beast, there's Gaston who's like, a woman should be married. That's what they're good for. And then all those women that love Gaston, like he's, and then she's like, I don't want that. And even that, I'm like, I don't want Maven to see that's a normal thing, even though they're rebelling against it. You know, I want to see I want her, the majority of the media she sees where just there's characters that are beyond that.
I think what would be more important is if she saw her dad vacuuming.
You don't act like you vacuum.
I have vacuumed recently.
I vacuumed. We pay somebody to vacuum.
Okay, but I also vacuum.
Yeah, well, she...
My point is, I don't think, like, a one-off movie viewing when a kid is like, what is this weird old movie? Like, they're not internalizing that nearly as much as, like, the things that they consume every day or the way their parents behave around them.
Sure, sure. That's the more much more important thing that I do is all of those things, is cook her dinner and take her to school and have her... cook meals with me and do laundry
and wipe her butt
and teach her how to wipe her own butt and do her pigtails
and buy her maxi pads.
And why? Oh my God. Oh God. I'm going to do that. And that's great. And that's awesome. But that's the first time I ever thought about that. That's a thing that's going to happen and it's great. And I will proudly do it. But I think you're right, Jen, that
I think it's
going to come
up
and it is good to go, hey, that's silly.
Yeah. I think when Maven's a little bit older, I'll point it out more. And Bryn.
I think Bryn is a good age to.
Yeah, Bryn, I could. He's not really watching that movie. He's not like.
He's too busy watching X-Men.
Too busy watching things where guys punch each other.
All right, last email. You ready for this?
Yeah.
This comes to us from Susan. Potty training help. Hello, Beth and Peter. I've written to you guys before about, quote unquote, keeping it sexy. Thanks for the advice. And now that the baby is now 9 months and slightly less needy, we have a little bit more sexy time, but not much.
Ha-ha. Ooh.
You'll have to go back to that episode to know what we're talking about. I'm writing to you about my 3-year-old daughter and our continued potty training battle. We have been trying off and on since she turned 2. She turned 3 in August, and we're still no closer to being potty trained. We've tried all the tricks. She doesn't care about my bribes or rewards. She doesn't care about her friends, that her friends use the potty. She doesn't want to be a big girl. I really do think she's ready, though. She tells me to change her after she goes. With Christmas coming, we told her we had to send her diapers to Santa in order for him to come. We made a big deal of wrapping up the diapers and sending them to Santa. She picked out new undies and quote-unquote potty prizes. She was on board till the day actually came. Day 1, she had 2 accidents. Day 2, 1 accident, and finally went on the potty. Woohoo! Day 3, held it all day. Was clearly uncomfortable, but despite sitting several times, never went till we relented at 8 p.m. and put a pull-up on her. I don't know what to do. I feel like a complete failure and also so angry, like, just pee in the fucking potty. I'm going to cough. Excuse me. Oh. In the past, after a few bad days of trying, we would take a few weeks break, but I absolutely refuse to put a diaper on her ever again. I'm not sure where to go from here. I'm all out of ideas. Please help. Happy Thanksgiving, Susan.
Okay. So...
Boy, we're getting over these colds, people.
I don't have a cold.
I'm getting over this cold.
So it's not that I don't think you should try to potty train, but I do think sometimes some kids just aren't ready for certain transitions, and I feel like we over-prescribe timelines. So I can understand her. Like, I think if you as a parent are so sick of changing diapers that you're, like, losing your mind, then... feel free to push it as hard as you want, I guess, on a three-year-old. Like, you're the only one suffering.
Yeah.
But I also think, like, if it's not happening, you don't have to make yourself feel like a failure. You can take a few weeks off and try again. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't...
Yeah. Well, it's... There's one, there's no right way. There's no right time. But also, like, you seem to be at this point where, like, I'm not putting a diaper on you. It's been more days since you sent this email, so I'm curious how it is now. But in our experience, you know, you get ready for a week.
I don't know.
To get the job done.
Both of our kids have been very different with this sort of thing. For example, our son is still peeing through his pull-up every single night while...
I mean, that's different than potty
training. No, but he has been on a different timeline than Maven for a lot of things.
Yes.
He is a stubborn kid. He's set in his ways. And I just don't think change comes easy to him with certain things. Whereas, like... Maven is a younger kid. She sees him pee in the potty every day. She jumped on board with it way more quickly.
The ball is in her court in that, you know, desire drives learning. And she always wants to be in the game. She wants to be a big kid. And so it was her energy and desire to do this thing that made it easy.
Also,
whereas Brent had no reason to want to change.
When you have a baby, the older kid regresses. And you don't, like, I don't think you really know how long that regression is going to take or how it's going to manifest, or, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes I think, especially when you have two little kids, like, you just need to roll with the punches and do what you got to do. And if anyone judges you for, like, letting your kids sleep in your bed or do whatever you have to do to, like, get through the day, those people are not living in your reality. So I'm like, I just want to make sure this person knows that it's not a horrible thing if their kid needs a diaper a little longer. You know,
But it's also fine to be loose in your shit because you're like, I'm not putting a diaper on you again. Great. Ride that aggression.
If you're willing to deal with the pee accidents and everything, sure.
Give it a week.
But I do think, like, if you push too hard on something, you create a shame around the peeing and the diaper, and then you might create a bigger problem than you had in the first place. Whereas if you just, like, lay off for a week or more, they might come around to it. You know what I mean? Like,
the thing I am excited about – not excited about, that I'm feeling good about with Bryn and all this is that we've kept it light. I'm like, hey, let's try this.
Until tonight when you were arguing with him about the good nights.
That was fucking stupid. You're right. I put my foot down on that. But the, like, going back to the pull-ups and whatever he wet his bed, I'm never going to show him my frustration. In the past, during potty training, I definitely did at times. And I've tried really hard to, especially when, like, an accident is happening. And you're like, no. The more buildup, the more exciting you try to make it, and the more whatever, that can have the opposite
effect. Yeah, you don't want to make it feel like it's like this huge, ginormous change. Like, it's sort of, it feels like an insurmountable obstacle if you're building it up too much.
Yeah. But then again, all of those things sometimes work for different kids. That, like, we're counting down to the day is a great tactic for a certain kid, so you don't know. So,
well,
you should never beat yourself up for trying something that didn't work.
It's not a bad idea to prepare them and be like, pretty soon we're gonna have no more pull-ups or no more diapers or whatever. It's not horrible. I'm just saying, if it's like, we had a potty training attempt with Bryn that was a total disaster when he was like two,
when Maven was a month old or something.
Yeah, Maven was really little, and it was just a total disaster, and we gave up and we put it off, and I'm glad we did.
Yeah, because I had to quickly drop a infant baby, not drop, but place Maven on the floor to grab Bryn to take him to the bathroom. It was the most
stressful.
She
definitely wasn't a month old.
Well, she was so small that it's like she was a wrapped up baby, and I had to literally at one point put her on the carpet so I could grab Bryn and take him to the bathroom.
Okay.
And that was a disaster, and we gave up. So what I'm saying is that you should not feel bad about all the things you've tried that didn't work, because you don't know.
Right. You don't
know
what
kind of kid you have.
Yeah. turns out you have a shitty kid like us.
You just, you know, chances are you got a shitty kid because they're all pretty shitty.
No, I think that's like very normal. I just think when you look back, when you're going to look back on your life and try to remember what year your kid potty trained, whether it was 2 or 3 or whatever, you're not really going to remember. And it feels important in the moment because you're like, my kid's friends are potty trained, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I read this email.
It doesn't really matter.
And I was like, boy, if you'd asked me this question 3 years ago, I'd have an answer. But it goes so quickly. Oh, you know what? I'm sure we talked about it in some episode. And this was one of them. And this has been another episode of We Knows Parenting. If you'd like to reach out, you can email us at weknowspod@gmail.com. Just forgot the email address. I forgot the name of the book. You can also, my friends, you can send us a voicemail. You have that number, Beth? You think one of us would memorize it?
You can leave us a voicemail at 347-384-7396.
Please leave us a review and a rating.
Subscribe. You can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at WeKnowsPod.
Pre-order Beth's book, There's No Manual, Story Pirates Creator Club, Trike at the Magnet Theater, Watch the Tonight Show on Thursday night, Reductress.com, and Beth's audiobook, and her Reductress card game in February. Did I get them all?
Yeah.
Also, watch my character reel. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hey there. I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At one of the most famous restaurants in the world, there's a table in the corner where the most incredible conversations on the planet are happening every week with owner Ruthie Rogers and amazing guests like Martha Stewart.
But I did have an affair with one of his best friends.
Jimmy Fallon.
Do you want a zip line over your dad while he gets attacked by alligators?
And Paul McCartney.
John and I hitchhiked to Paris.
We've saved you a seat. Ruthie's Table 4. Listen to Ruthie's Table 4 on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.